Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Wow, amazing verses here from the prophet Zechariah. Well, just to think of some of the things that we've looked at so far in the first seven chapters of Zechariah, without looking at particular verses, but we have learned God will build a spiritual Jerusalem. His son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the branch, the Messiah, will be the king priest. He will cut off all his people's sins in one day, the Day of Atonement. Those that love the Lord will be crowned with glory and salvation, and dwell in a spiritual city which has walls of salvation surrounding it. Those that do not leave spiritual Babylon will be punished there. Those that refused God's word and pulled away the shoulder and would not hear, they will be scattered by the whirlwind that will destroy them. God seeks only sincere worshippers. Fastings and feast days and forms of religion and of worship invented by men, well, they count for nothing by God. Only the keeping of his moral law and by true worship is God to bless his people that have come to his son for salvation. Well, in chapter 8, we have a glorious prediction of peace and blessing in the Church of Jesus Christ, the New Jerusalem, the spiritual Zion. The things foretold in this chapter are so wonderful, so glorious, so sublime, and we only look at chapter 8 here tonight, well, they cannot be seen as temporal, worldly blessings given to physical Israel. There was some small fulfillment to them, but it never lasted. It never came to what we actually read of here. In chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we have, Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, Zechariah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Well, the references to Zion and Jerusalem, time and time again in the prophets, refer to the remnant of believers in Israel of old, but especially to his people in the gospel age, Jew and Gentile. This is God's love for his true people here. He is jealous for them. He watches over them. Physical Jerusalem, we know, in the time of Zechariah, was in a very sorry state. The temple was nearly finished, completed, but the city, the people, the economy, the Persian dominance, and especially the spiritual state of most of the people, all was very, very poor. This prophecy speaks of a spiritual fulfillment, a spiritual prediction of the gospel age and heaven thereafter. It speaks of the coming New Testament church of Jesus Christ, there in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Well, God had largely left Jerusalem as the people were exiled and as the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And God had returned somewhat with Zerubbabel and with Joshua, the high priest, as some of the people returned, and as he was with Haggai and Zechariah preaching words of encouragement to the people at this time to rebuild the temple. But all this was as nothing compared to what he was to do. Much of that initial return was physical, of course, the people, roughly we reckon about 42,000 people altogether returned from Babylon to Judah. But although you might think, well, that's a lot, that's tiny. A few football grounds in our country at the moment see that many each week. Well, of course, not at the moment because of the pandemic, but that gives you an idea of the size. But this, what Zechariah says here, is spectacular. This is vast. Look there again in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. The Lord speaks of great feeling here for his true people in the Old Testament. And in verse 3, the prediction is of a much fuller dwelling with his people. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And this is not so much the Saviour coming into the world, but God coming to man in the gospel so that thousands upon thousands are saved. And at the end of the exile, he saved a tiny, hardly recognisable remnant of true believers amongst the Jews. But within a few days of Pentecost, you know, a few days of the Lord's resurrection, thousands and thousands were saved. And soon the whole Roman world was turned upside down by those few apostles. And now the whole world has been touched with the gospel, and a great multitude without number has been saved down the ages. All that is seen in such a word, I will return to Zion, my people. And look, I will dwell in the midst of them by the Saviour, by his Holy Spirit. God now dwells in a way with his people never known before. The Lord Jesus Christ rules in his churches all over the wide world. He is worshipped and adored, served, and he comforts and empowers and delights his people. And see here, it is called a city of truth. Yes, the truth will be taught in the true church of God. The truth of the gospel will be preached to all nations. The truth will be kept and the truth will be loved. Truth will rule the hearts of his people in that New Testament church. Sanctification and holiness will be in the heart of his true people. The church will be God's mountain, his high place, his massive and strong and unmovable place of strength and abiding. Wow, this is wonderful to us as we read it in these Old Testament terms. And verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet be old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hands for very age. Well, this shows us that the church will be a place of spiritual security, seen as a place where people grow old and grow old without fear of war or disease. Spiritually, this will be true. Saved people will be brought safely to heaven. This old age here, we reckon, is a hint at the perseverance of the saints. They will grow old and go all the way to glory. And old age, as always in the Old Testament, will mean wisdom and maturity. Believers will have discernment and understanding. And all this will come through the truth that they are taught from the scriptures in the church by the ministry that God sets up in his church, in the truth that they believe from the Bible. Well, I'm not sure that we can think that these glorious words are perhaps some shaky hope of some physical enjoyment in a physical Jerusalem. No, this is far bigger, far greater, far more wonderful than that. And it goes on here in verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. This verse shouts at you in the Old Testament when you come to it, doesn't it? When you read it. But what a picture of happiness and joy and safety. And all of that is worthwhile. All of that is so wonderful. Children playing without a care in the world. That's the picture. So in the church, the Lord's people will be perfectly content, safe. Such spiritual joy and fulfillment. This is the church, all right. There's no doubt about that. And verse 6, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, when Zechariah was speaking to them, should it also be marvellous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Well, in this verse, Zechariah is predicting that all this, the believing remnant, they would have viewed this as they listened to Zechariah in his day, glary-eyed, filled with wonder and marvel as they think of what Zechariah is predicting through the Lord. And the question God asks himself here is rhetorical, as it says here, should it also be marvellous in my eyes, says the Lord? And of course, it will not be a wonder to him, is what the Lord is saying, because it will happen. I have planned it. You can be sure of this. I think that's the understanding of this rhetorical question. And then verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Well, this confirms what we're thinking. This speaks of the Gentiles that will be brought into the church. And verse 8, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. The Gentiles will be brought into spiritual Jerusalem. God will bring them to himself. He will draw them by the gospel, irresistibly, by the Holy Spirit, and they will have full rights in the church. Salvation will be by grace and not race. Well, we have here the Old Testament formula of union with Christ. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. That is the covenant of grace. God's promise to save his people because of the obedience of his Son in his perfect life and in his reconciling death on the cross. The Gentiles will join with believing Jews and be in one church, the one church, the middle wall of partition broken down, all one in Christ Jesus. There never again will be in the church any distinction at all, but Jew and Gentile, all will be mine, saith the Lord. All will be spiritual citizens of the spiritual city and nation, which is the Lord's. And in verse 9, Zechariah again speaking by the Lord, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days, you that are building the temple, listening to the words of Haggai and Zechariah, be strong, ye that hear these words in these days, these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, 20 years before, that the temple might be built. Well, all such things are to be enjoyed by those that believe. This verse is saying, you that are listening, you that are actually building the physical temple today, you that hear the words of Haggai and Zechariah, you that laid the foundation 20 years or so before, and now see it near to completion. Not only can you now believe that it will be finished, that temple, but that all the splendid and glorious predictions that soar way above all this almost mundane physical sight and day of small things in which you live, all will come to pass in a glorious age coming, when the Messiah shall appear and set up his spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men and women in the coming New Testament church. And you see here that these are the people that are to be strong and are to hear. And those words, strong and hear, there in verse 9, they are tantamount to belief. You that hear and believe, you be strong in the things that you believe. Believe that God will bring all these predictions to pass, but only believers will be part of it. No accident of birth or family or nation or church tradition will do it. Only faith in Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. Only by faith will someone become a member of this church, and God become their God, and they become his people, those that hear and are strong in faith, being absolutely persuaded of these things and believe these things. Well, in Zechariah's day, of course, it was a day of great shortage. Verse 10, for before these days, or around about these times, just before the temple was being finished, there was no hire for man, you couldn't afford it, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction and the poverty, for I set all men, every one, against his neighbour. Well, these were great days of great shortage and difficulty. Saints and sinners were mixed together in the Old Testament community of God's people. The believers were forever saying to their fellow Jews, know the Lord, know the Lord. But the day was coming, as Jeremiah said, when all the community would know the Lord, because all in the true church would be saved by faith and had the Lord in their hearts. But here, in the days before the New Testament church, there was friction among neighbours because many did not believe, just as we see in so many churches today that have filled up with unbelievers. The church should be as pure as we can possibly make it. It should have only believers in it. And then in verses 11 to 13, as we come here to these verses, there will be such a blessing among the heathen as believers and labouring and serving the Lord in the gospel. So many will be saved and blessed. Well, verse 11, "But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in former days, saith the Lord of hosts." It won't be as in the old days when there were so few, just a handful of Gentiles in the Old Testament, just the odd Naaman, the odd Ruth and Rahab, that came to know and to love the God of Israel. It won't be like that. Verse 12, "For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." The spiritual offspring, the seed, will be prosperous, overflowing, gigantic, out of all proportion to the ones that started the church, those apostles and the small band with them. They will possess all things. You see, this is extravagant language. It must mean all spiritual possessions, glorious heavenly riches, Christ himself, the pearl of great price. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen in Old Testament days, and now, O house of Judah and house of Israel," whenever Judah and Israel are put together, they never came together physically in the future, but this is speaking of the church, the people of God, all of them, Judah and Israel, "so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong." Well, now the opposite will be true. All through the Old Testament, Israel was a curse to the heathen, the Gentiles. They hated them. They warred against them. The Israelites were despised and trodden down. But through the church, the New Jerusalem, the spiritual Zion, will know its opposition. And yet so many, a vast, numberless multitude, will be blessed as they hear the gospel and are saved. Only God calls on us to be strong and to trust in him. There was to be a gigantic change. And you see that change in the contrast of verses 14 and 15. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not." These days are the times of the fulfillment of the prophecy that he speaks of in this chapter and through the book, at the coming of Christ and the onset of the gospel age, the church age. The believers then need not fear. God was going to keep his promise and do well again to Jerusalem, spiritually that is, as he thought to do well. That is his intention. That is his decree. That is his determined counsel. Spiritual Jerusalem will abound and be glorious in his eyes. And look here in verse 16. We even have great New Testament principles for believers, for us. "These are the things that ye shall do in that New Testament day. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbour," fellow church member. "Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates." So there in verse 16, this is what we shall do in the New Testament church. Believer to believer, speak truth. There will be sincerity, courtesy between the Lord's people, love and care to each fellow believer, and the truth of the doctrine. Why, it's not always quoted as a quote from Zechariah, but in Ephesians 4:25 we have, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another." And I reckon that the thought comes from this verse. "And discern truth, and look for and seek peace and love among yourselves in the church." This is precisely the teaching of the New Testament for believers. It is so plain. And verse 17, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbour." You see that in the church. "And love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." We are called to love one another as the Saviour insisted of us to show that we are his. And then in verses 18 and 19, those four fasts, or the two fasts and a couple of others, are mentioned, and we just look at them again. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. So here, whereas at one time, when a couple of these feasts were formally mentioned, the Lord was saying, well, you only did it for yourself, you weren't interested in me. But here, the four fasts that they kept, that they were weary of, were the one in the 10th month, that was an anniversary of Nebuchadnezzar coming against Jerusalem. The one in the 4th month was the next year after that, when there was a breach in the walls that they remembered. And the 5th is when the temple was burned down, and the 7th is when Gedaliah, who was left as the leader by the Chaldeans to watch over the poor people, he was murdered by Zedekiah's royal princes. Well, these old tedious fasts will long be forgotten in the new gospel age. They will have been turned into feasts of rejoicing and worship and gladness, and of so many memorable things that God will have done for his people. The incarnation, the death of the Saviour, his resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Well, it is a shame that some of these things have been spoiled by actual forms and celebrations of a most physical kind. But spiritually, we rejoice in all these grand and glorious matters and constantly love the truth and peace that they have brought to us by the gospel. We will rejoice in our Saviour and his atoning death. And in verses 20 to 21, the Gentiles will speedily be absorbed into the New Testament church by conversion. You see the urgency of these words. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. So there's an urgency. This is a picture of the Gentiles pressing into the church. Well, just like the day of Pentecost, so many gathered so quickly. And then the message of salvation quickly spread the world. The Gentiles cramming in. The kingdom of God was taken, as it were, by violence. People pressing into it. And there in verse 22, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. And they have done that as they come to the church. And now, this is not a millennial hope, but a present fulfillment. We can be sure many come to seek that spiritual Jerusalem and seek the gospel that is preached there. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of all nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. 10 is often put for a large number in the Bible. Many will realise that God is with his people, spiritual Jews, New Testament Christian believers, and their testimony in their life and word will attract all nations, all languages, all intellects, and all kinds to seek salvation from the God of this people. There are some that will say that such a view of this chapter, a chapter like this, is rather fanciful and takes no account of the literal physical fulfillment. But we can only see that this is, in the soaring language of the prophet, a message of the coming Messiah and his church. We can only see that this is a glorious showing of what the Lord wants to do in our very age. And we praise God for it. Amen. Amen.